Dan, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, Gavin. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, mate. How are you getting on these strange times? Are you presumably yourself? You're isolating yourself somewhere?
Yeah. I'm actually in Northumberland at the moment.
It's cool. We were very lucky to get the event on the 14th of March, and particular thanks to those fighters that stepped in, yourself included. Also Team Medic as well. You know, we had a lot of support from them, even though, you know, their primary role is obviously to keep the fighters safe in the ring, but they're obviously helping us deal with issues as they arose on the night as well. So should we get into it and talk about that that night? It seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? You're known as the fake 80s man.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah. So what music did you come into?
It was Born to Run, and it was a cover by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which is a band from Liverpool.
Because I noticed when you excuse me, I noticed when you were introduced by Jem that one of your talents is singing. Like you were in a choir, is that right?
Yeah, I was in a choir for about 10 years.
Oh, nice. Okay, so given, I mean, obviously, we'll perhaps touch on Brian's entrance, but there's quite an upscaling in terms of the entrances and glamour attributed to each entrance. Perhaps we could expect you to maybe sing your entrance the next time you what do you think about that?
I like the idea because I am a bit of a show-off, but at the same time, I don't know, I some of these entrances... I'm worried. I don't want to look like I'm putting too much into it. I don't want to look like I'm drawing too much attention to myself. I don't want to look like too much of a show-off. So, you know, I like to keep a fine balance, you know.
That's what it's all about. I mean, I think it's fair to say anybody would have been upstaged by Brian's entrance. It was pretty awesome. And I think you need to step up your game. We want to see you showing off. That's all part of the show.
Maybe I can sing something. I will... think of something. I'm more of a choral singer. I was actually a very, very high tenor. I was in Sweeney Todd and I played Toby, which is like an 11-year-old boy, so I've got a very, very high voice, but it's more sort of choral stuff. But I could find something which is sort of 80s and sort of choral. Maybe not even 80s, but maybe 60s or 70s or something, like My Way by Frank Sinatra. Not that, but something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure we can definitely find some choral stuff that's 80s with a bit of synth in it somewhere.
Yeah,
I seem to remember some of the Primal Scream ones. They have like choral intros to some of the songs. Like okay. Logan, I think, yeah. Has got a choral intro, which isn't quite 80s. Idea, 90s, yeah.
That's an idea. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're the fake 80s man, and you before you fought Brian, you fought Max Gershwin, of course.
I did, yes.
Yeah, and you claim to be king of the jocks.
Yes, I am king of the jocks, that's right.
Just want to get that in there to stir that up a bit, see if we can get Max back in the ring.
I don't think he listens to the podcast. I spent all this time trash-talking him on the podcast, and I asked him about it on the night, and he hadn't even listened. I was extremely disappointed.
Don't worry, I'll send him a link. I'll make sure he listens to this one, don't worry. So it's St. Patrick's Day Bash. And you decided to open with the English opening, is that right?
I'm glad someone noticed that, yeah. Glad someone noticed that because I came on to Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which is an English band, which is an American song, but an English band. And I played the English opening because I'm not a fake Irishman like every Englishman on St. Patrick's Day. So I decided to do that, but no one seemed to notice. I was very disappointed.
The commentators noticed. Yeah, Matt Lund noticed.
They just about noticed. They mentioned it. Yeah.
How did it fare? Because it's quite passive opening. Do you think that kind of set you up in the right fashion for the chess, or not really?
Yeah, I think it's a very boring opening, and that doesn't really match my chess. I'm normally a more aggressive player, but I think in the ring, I also tend to play very conservatively. I've looked at my chess games, and in a normal chess game, I'd never play like I do in the ring. I just play very, very... I try to play very safe, so I don't make a blunder, but I end up making blunders anyway, so that doesn't really work. I was expecting him not to know the English, so I actually had a small lesson with a guy that I know who also teaches chess, who's a lot better than me, who taught me how to play it. But we reckon that after about five moves, six moves of theory, Brian wouldn't know what he's doing. But I think he studies a bit more than I do. So he sort of turned it into a kind of what's called a reverse Sicilian.
Okay.
So yeah. You know how the Sicilian works with black. He basically turned it round. So he was playing. So if I open with the English, you can turn it into a reverse Sicilian. And he knows the Sicilian quite well. So I think he just kind of did that.
So he's playing with black pieces as if he was white.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Got it, yeah. That's interesting. I didn't pick that up at all, but you know, I'm not as well versed in chess openings as you probably are, Dan. It was quite interesting, I thought, because it sounds to me, because usually you're aggressive at the chess, and I was quite surprised that you were so passive. It sounds to me it was partly a product of your opening, but it was very contrasting to your boxing, which is typically aggressive. How many times did you manage to knock Brian down the first round?
Three times. And a lot of it I didn't, and the rest of it, the only reason I didn't knock him out for the rest of it was because he was wasting time on the canvas.
Yeah, so I think Brian, I think it's the first time he's been up against an aggressive boxer, although he got knocked down three times by, in total, I know you knocked him down more than three times, but he got knocked down three times by Matt Reed. He's also a longer reach than him. So I think he struggled to deal with that, and I think he's not the kind of person that would clench, but actually sometimes that's what you got to do. And I know Zoe was trying to get him to be more comfortable within your range and to clench if he needs to, because he was backing off so that he was constantly at your range because you were coming forward and he touched you, and it didn't work for him at all. But I have to say,
the clinching didn't really work. I mean, he got it once or twice, I guess. But yeah, I don't think it really helped to stop the fight.
No, it wasn't pretty. I don't think he was going down because he was hurt. He was definitely being overwhelmed, but it was more he was just on the weight of you, I think, coming forward.
I think one or two of them were knockdowns. I think either the second or the third knockdown of the first round, and definitely the second knockdown of the second round, were knockdowns. There was one knockdown in the second round. If you watch the last knockdown of the second round, I think if the bell hadn't rung, that the ref would have stopped it, to be honest, because I think that was a knockdown. If you watch it, I just land and he falls straight down. I think that was a knockdown.
Yeah, he was saved at least once by the bell, I think.
Did Ronaldo say that he was going to stop the fight?
I haven't spoken to Ronaldo about it, to be honest. Okay. But I was quite impressed with his. I think his punch resistance wasn't great, but it didn't seem to affect his chest that much. He was quite good at calming himself, particularly when he sat down after boxing, because he was getting a real, you know, he was getting his cage rattled. There's no doubt about it. He was taking a lot of punches.
Yeah.
So interestingly, there was the commentators used the phrase Jaffa. I think it was in your first move of the fifth round. I think you missed something. You missed your knight. Do you remember?
In the which one was that? In the first round, you say?
The fifth round. So that's
yes, the fifth round. Yeah. I missed the chance to win the piece back.
Yeah.
I remember I saw that. I was thinking about it, and I didn't. I just kind of there was some. It just didn't look positionally sound for some reason. I kind of saw it, but I thought, nah, there's no way that's going to work. And I sort of overlooked it, and I just went for the safe option, which was recapturing with the knight, but I should have recaptured with the pawn because I was forking the pieces. Mm. But there was just some part of me that was in there. Was my instinct was just against recapturing with the pawn because it was double pawns. It made it very weak on that side, and the queen could come in and take it. And I didn't really calculate fully with the pieces, so I really should have recaptured with the pawn. But my instincts... I was playing mostly on instinct, and my instincts just clearly aren't good enough.
Do you think you rushed it a bit? It was the first move after a boxing round, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was when I lost a piece. And I think he did have the edge on the position, but I've run it through the computer, and up until then, he had the edge, but it was only an increment of a point. Like, if the computer had played itself, it would have given itself a draw in that position, if that makes sense. Yeah, it was close enough that it was actually fairly close at that point. And then when I lost the piece, that was basically the game over.
Yeah, because then he was just able to swap out, wasn't he? And he was able to push that advantage. But it actually ended on time, didn't it? So I thought it was a pretty compelling chess game. I think strategically, Brian seemed to have his pieces in better positions earlier. Although you obviously ran through the computer, but I sort of felt that he was always on top in the chess. And obviously, when you lost that piece, then it was game over, really, and you didn't have much time, so you had to move very quickly.
Yeah. He had the edge on the position, but he never really made much use of it, if that makes sense. So like it was, he did always have the edge, but by the time it was I lost the piece, it was, I think the computer gave him 0.8% of an advantage, 0.8 of an advantage, which isn't very high.
It was quite attritional, actually. There wasn't a lot of pieces being thrown forward. You were both kind of quite conservative, really, because Brian was keeping his bishops behind his pawn line, but he had those two pawns in the centre of the board that were really dominating and causing problems.
I think it's just after the fight with Gershwin where I made that atrocious blunder. I've just been very careful to play very, very carefully, but I don't think that really works. I think you've still got to play aggressively, so I think next time I'll just try aggressive, playing aggressively, and I don't think I'll open with the English again. I don't think that's my kind of opening.
No, I don't think it was a great opening, and I think
a good opening, but it's just not my kind of chess. It's not very attacking. Sorry, go on.
I just also think there's a difference between playing aggressively and playing quickly or playing recklessly. Like, you can still be aggressive, but take time to plan out your moves and think, you know, 2-3 moves ahead. You can still do that and be aggressive, can't you?
They're not
the same thing.
Yeah.
And generally, you have a lot more experience in chess than me. You teach chess, but being aggressive is generally a good thing, isn't it? Like, if you can force the pace and the moves onto the other person, then you're in a good position.
It definitely does. Is in chess boxing, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's much, much better in chess boxing because since the pressure's really on to think, if you're the one putting the pressure on, then, you know, often they get overwhelmed. And they don't know what to do. They crumble quite easily. They make mistakes.
Use their time to think, then. They're having to react to what you're doing.
No, exactly.
So also, we should thank you for being the Twitch jockey again. How did you find
that? It was good. Unfortunately, I had to leave to fight Brian. And that's when the weird people started commenting. I came through and everyone was just laying into Chris Levy for some reason.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I scrolled through. I was like, right, I hope this didn't get too out of hand in my absence. And I was just reading the comments, and they were being so rude about Chris Levy in my fight. I was expecting one of them to mention me. Half of them didn't even know it was me. Half of them were writing, Geroid looks tired, and because the thing still said Geroid, so they don't even know it was me. And most of them were talking about Chris Levy. They said, well, Chris Levy is a fat Chris Levy is a shit chess player.
I didn't know that at all. I'll have to go back and read it all.
I felt sorry for that.
Sorry to hear that, Chris.
Chris. I would have blocked them, but I had to step up and fight, I'm afraid.
Yeah, Dan wasn't there to protect your honour there, unfortunately, but there we go.
I would have defended your honour. I would have said Chris Levy's a good chess player, don't worry.
Yeah, we should just say that, again, thanks for stepping in to fight, Dan, but we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, five fighters pull out within two or three weeks of the event. And obviously a lot of that was down to what was happening with the coronavirus. We also wanted to stay safe, and we were, shout out to Matt Reed. So he had a cough in the morning, so he didn't come in. Garode had a fever, and Andre Glenzer, he actually came to London and he had to stay in his hotel because he was recovering from the flu. So big thank you to him for coming over. It was a real shame we didn't see him fight. He's a fantastic chess boxer and a great guy. We'll definitely be getting him hopefully in October, if we do an event in October. And he's one of the strongest chess players. He's actually slightly stronger than David Jarmany.
Really?
Yeah, he's like around 2-4, something like that. So to see him play will be really fantastic.
You know who wants to go at Andre Glenzer?
Matt Reed?
No, even better. Yeah, Roger.
I think we could do it. I think Roger's boxing has come on a lot. What do you think about that, Dan?
I think Andre Glenza would absolutely kill him in the boxing. I mean, Roger, with all due respect to Roger, he can't hold his own against me or Cheyenne. And me and Cheyenne's barely, barely boxed. He's boxed for like 6 months and Cheyenne beat him to within an inch of his life.
That is not a fair characterization of the bout at all. I mean, Roger was hanging on, but that's part of the game.
Hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, but he was hanging on the chess and the boxing, and he came out as a winner, didn't he? Because he had the clock on his side.
He won on time. Everyone agrees that fight was a robbery, and my fight was a robbery as well. All of my friends were messaging me saying it was a robbery, ref should have stopped it.
I don't want to get into this debate again about what is chess boxing, but anyway, congratulations to Roger. I thought he did it incredibly well. And he thoroughly deserved that belt. He really dug his heels in, and it was great to see somebody do that and get through, against a difficult opponent. What do you think of Cheyenne's entrance?
That was quite good. I actually missed it by seconds. I had to watch it on the WhatsApp and it looked pretty cool, but I was getting changed. I had to go back and get changed. I missed it by seconds. I just came in at the very, very end, which was very disappointing.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah. He was originally going to have 10 dancers, but because of the restrictions and everything going on, only three of them decided to travel. So hopefully next time we'll have his full complement. And we'll look forward to that one, won't we? Is there anything else you want to cover off? Have you got a favourite chocolate bar you want to talk about?
Favourite chocolate bar I want to talk about. I don't really eat much chocolate, Gavin. I'm a very stoic man. I don't go for sort of low down pleasures like chocolate. You know, my mind's on more esoteric things like chess and boxing and chess boxing stuff like that. I mean, I like chocolate oranges. Chocolate oranges are nice.
Okay, perhaps I'll rephrase or ask you a slightly different question. What's your favourite tax treatment as the tax man?
Tax treatment? Not paying any tax. That's my favourite tax treatment. Locating offshore. That's what I used to do. I used to do offshore taxes.
Right. Not anymore, though.
Not anymore. No. I don't work for PwC anymore.
No, I do
think that... I want to be a lawyer now. Sorry?
I do think your ring name, the tax man, is really good. And it really lends itself to a bit of an anti-hero. And we need to bring out a bit more. I don't know if
but
you remember.
But that's the problem, Gavin. I'm too nice. I'm too much of the good guy.
Do you think so? I don't know. I think you make quite a good anti-hero. Do you remember?
But everyone cheers for me. How can I be the anti-hero when everyone cheers for me? Everyone's booing Brian and cheering for me. What?
People cheer for anti-heroes. Do you remember IRS, the wrestler?
I didn't really watch wrestling. It's probably a bit young for it, but
in the 90s there's a wrestler called IRS, which is the American tax system, and he was just in with like a suit and carrying like a briefcase, and then he like used the briefcase to like batter someone over the head or something like that.
Maybe I can do that.
I think definitely like a briefcase and like a nice smart suit or something.
Maybe I wonder whether I'm going to need to change it because I'm not a tax man anymore. And everyone thinks I'm a tax man afterwards.
You name yourself now, though. You don't you think? I mean, people
know. I don't know. I have. I'd need to come up with something better is the problem, and I can't think of anything better. So, you know.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't worry about it. I would just lean into it, like, you know, just try and develop the character a bit more. I think it's great.
Yeah.
All right, then, mate. Well, have you got anything else or anyone you'd like to say hi to? Or
Anyone I want to say hi to, just to all my fans out there, you know.
Yeah.
You keep the dream real. You're the reason I do this, and I love all of you, and stay safe for the coronavirus, you know. I want all of you coming to the next event, so, you know, don't die on me now. Stay absolutely safe. Look after all the relatives. That's what I want to say.
And who knows if we'll be putting on event in October. Hopefully we will, but we've got our next date is 3rd of October. You can watch Dan fight Brian Mack on our Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/LondonChessBoxing. We're also planning to do a little, what would you call it? Showreel, I suppose, over the summer. Because obviously we've got a big break now till our next event, and who knows what will be happening because everyone's at home. But we're going to see if we can do put together a little show reel and do a live commentary session with the guys Matt Lunn and Chris Levy. So look out for that on social media. All that's left for me to do is just say thank you very much, Dan, for coming on the podcast. Thanks for fighting, short notice. In fact, you were going to fight. I think you were going to fight Matt initially, weren't you? And then Matt dropped out.
I prepped for Matt, and I got Brian, which is a shame. But yeah, no, Matt. I was hoping to fight Matt. Matt would have been a good fight, I think. Although outdoing the Roger Cheyenne fight would have been difficult, but I wanted to get that world title belt because that was the plan. We were going to do it for the world champion. So I would have been very happy to be world champion chess boxer for a couple of months. I think that would have been brilliant.
Well, actually, I think you and Matt are very well matched in terms of your height. I mean, he's slightly taller than you, but you're more aggressive in the boxing. But Matt won't be able to hide behind his jab because you've got similar reach. And I think that would have been a really good fight. Chess-wise, probably, I think Matt's just got more experience in chess boxing.
Yeah.
So that give him a slight edge. But you're not far off, really, in terms of chess either, I wouldn't say. But
anyway. Yeah, no, exactly. And I've prepped for his odd openings. Well, yeah, I know how to. I mean, I was taught how. Some guy told me this is what you should do in terms of the orangutan, and you know I know the other stuff he plays, so you know it should be fine. I think I'll be all right against him.
Should be in the bag. Sounds like you've got it all sorted.
It's gonna be easy. But I reckon if I'm aggressive enough, I'll just stop the fight.
Matt's seen a few shows. You do well to overwhelm him. You really? Do well. Yeah, yeah. He's
okay,
not.
All right.
I mean, you can. I'd love to see you try, but you probably will. I'm sure.
Probably will.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that has to be the next fight, though. I think it's my turn next time for the world champion, world championship.
You've been very good in terms of stepping in, and so we'll obviously try and prioritize you, and so you get another run out in October or December.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, well, if I have time to train, because it looks like everything's going to be on lockdown, but you know, we'll see.
Well, you've got to train, yeah, get out there, get fit over the summer.
Yeah,
be great.
Yeah,
all right, Dan, thanks very much. I'll wrap things up now, and stay safe, all you listeners, and we'll see you in a week or two for the next podcast. Thanks very much.
Thank you, mate.